Blog Talk Radio. let your kingdom come. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let the divinity follow up humanity. Let the divinity prevail. Let your kingdom come. Let your purity follow up iniquity. Let your purity follow up iniquity. Let your purity prevail. Let your kingdom come. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. We pray. Show us your glory, Lord. Oh God, let your kingdom come. Overrule all righteousness. Let your righteousness overrule all righteousness. Let the beauty fire. Let your kingdom come. Asaba Badike Bahamba. Eriyadada. Let immortality follow up mortality. Let your life follow up the sting of death. Let your glory cover the earth. Let your kingdom come. Hey, let your truth, let your truth overcome every lie. Let your light overcome the darkness. Let your glory cover the earth. Let your kingdom come. I'd like you to raise your voice and pray for the teacher. Let your kingdom come. Oh God, let your kingdom come. Jesus, let your will be done. Oh Lord, let your kingdom come. Oh God, let your will be done. I'd like you to raise your voice and pray for the teacher. Let's Lord, we pray for the nation. Just stretch out your hand and just pray for the nation. Using Nigeria as a point of contact. We take advantage of God's presence here. And we receive the presence over the nation. Let the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Lord.
I want to go deeper.
worship my enemy. I wanna go deeper. My love, my joy, my favorite. I wanna go deeper.
Thank you. one more day in the land of the living. And we praise the Lord, we glorify him, and we honor him. We had church this morning on the phone line. I was talking to a prophetess evangelist from out of Louisiana. And glory to God, I was, this woman of God just blessed me as she was talking about God. Just bless me, I tell you. I mean, it's church on the phone. And it was awesome, I tell you. And Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We honor you. And we are asking you, Lord Jesus, to speak to us as we yield our ears, our hearts, and our soul to you this morning. Father, we ask your forgiveness for any thought, any word, any action that any deed that we may have committed, known or not known. Lord Jesus, we come to you as humbly as we know how, with a heart of repentance, submitting our way and our will to you. And we ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us through this day. And let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in this day as we speak your truth, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless everyone that's come on the line today and those that are not able to get here or are listening by way of phone or computer. Lord, we ask you to bless them. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We want to talk today about when the Lord promotes. When the Lord promotes. And we know the Bible says you very clearly that promotions come from above, from the Father of lights. So when the Lord promotes, he does not only promote, but he strengthens. He gives favor. And he shepherds. In other words, he leads the ones that he is promoting. He leads them. They have become the sheep of his pasture. So let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's do verse 1 and 2 and then 8 to 17. And the Bible says, it's talking about King David. The king, King Hiram of Tyre, sent messages to David, along with cedar timber and stone masons and carpenters to build him a place, a palace, excuse me. And David realized that the Lord had confirmed him as king over Israel and had greatly blessed his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Now let's jump down to verses 8. And when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he marched out to meet them. The Philistines arrived and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked God, "Shall I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord replied, "Yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you." Now you see here, David has been anointed to be king over Israel. We're talking about when the Lord promotes you. When the Lord promotes, David was a shepherd boy. He took care of his father's sheep. He killed a lion and a bear to protect the sheep. Now God has promoted him from being a shepherd boy to be a king over Israel. At this point in time, King Saul is still king, but God had called him David because Saul was rebellious. He was stiff-hearted. He was disobedient. So David heard now that the Philistine is coming to attack Israel. And he went out because David was a brave warrior. You know, he killed Goliath. He went out to meet the Philistine now. And there was a great slaughter. So he asked, before he go out, he asked the Lord, should he go? How many times have we keep saying on Blog Talk Radio that we, the people of God, that we are doing things and saying things without asking God's permission, without asking God for his advice whether we should do this thing or not do this thing? And there was a lot of times that I have to go places and I seek the Lord on whether I should go or not. And I have to call the customer and I say, well, I can't come today. I just not led to go to that people's house to, on a day, travel on the highway, because I'm consulting God for his directions, instructions of whether to go or not. So David asked God, should I go out to meet the Philistines, to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over? In other words, will God, will you fight for me? Will you stand with me while I'm in the battle? We are trying to deal with this party and the next party, but we are not asking God. Listen, there's such a division in the earth right now. There's such a great division, this government against the next government, this party against the next party, these people against those people, especially if they're not in sync with you, with what your beliefs, they don't want to even talk to you. The Lord told David to go ahead. He said, I will hand them over to you. So David and his troops, verse 11, went up to Beer-Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. God did it. David exclaimed, he used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So they named the place Baal-Perazim, which means the Lord who burst through. David and his soldiers went up to fight against the Philistines. But at the same time, God was the one fighting for David. He was the one fighting for Israel. Hallelujah. When God is fighting for you, you can't lose. We say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, we say it out of cliche, but it's the truth. If God is standing for you or with you, no one can defeat you. David had to let the people know that God did it. Yes, he was a soldier. He was the one sitting on that horseback or that camel's back with his sword in his hand. He was the one with a sling in his hand, but God guided the stone. God guided the arrow. God guided the sword. It said, the Bible says, the Philistines had abandoned their gods there. So David gave orders to burn them. See, they were an idolistic nation. They worshiped idols. They had wooden gods, and they had stone gods, and gods of this and gods of that, but they didn't have Jehovah God. They didn't have the God that Israel had. God had the supreme God, the sovereign God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get caught up in the world system and what's going on in the world, and we get bent out of shape. We forget that we have the sovereign God, the one that sits high and sees low, the one that promotes us from nothing and made us something. Hallelujah, the one that took us out of the guttermost and put us in the uppermost place in his house. Hallelujah, we forget that. Hallelujah. But David consulted the Lord God of Israel. And he asked God, should he go? Hallelujah. And God said, go. I would give the enemy over into your hand. And God went ahead of David and burst through like a raging flood. Destroyed all the Philistines. And David was very adamant about letting the people know that it was God that did it. When we get a victory, we've been praying for a victory. I was just talking to this morning early to a prophetess from Louisiana, and she was saying that how everything, it seemed like so much blessing was coming to her. It's like the floodgates of blessing was coming to her. And then all of a sudden, she got connected with a ministry in Louisiana. She got baptized, and she joined this ministry. And the moment she joined the ministry, the only thing she could say, because she wasn't in the house, but she was praising, she was fasting, and she was glorifying God. She was giving to the poor, all the stuff. And she was kept getting blessed over and over. And the moment she joined this church, all of a sudden it seems like the floodgates of blessing just shut completely up. She began to tell me how her light went off. Her dish went off, and the next thing went off. This is a woman that always sows seeds wherever she goes. That's why a long time we got to look, and she said to me, she says, man of God, I don't know if where I am now is good ground. And I just told her, I said, well, you got to talk to God about it. You know, God watches over us even when we make the mistake. We don't say, and sometimes we say, well, God ain't going to let you go no the wrong place. But God can stop you. But God still gives us a will, which I call the choice. The will and the choice is the same thing. So we choose to go some places, and we choose to do some things. After we fall, then we consult God. We join different ministries. We don't ask God, should I join this ministry? Should I connect with this pastor? Should I connect with this priest? We don't ask God. God is the last one that we talk to. After we start to fail and things are failing, I told you need to pray. You need to fast and ask God about this place. Because maybe there's some things going on behind the scene that you don't know. But God knows all. We can't hide anything from God. But here in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 14, we read verse 1 and 2, and now we jump down to verse 8, and we are going to verse 17. Now here, David is fought against the Philistine, and God gave the Philistines over into his hands. Why? Because David had consulted God in prayer first. Before he took the army of Israel out on the battlefield, he thought, ask God, shall I go against these Philistines? Shall I go up against them? Will you be with me? Will you fight for me, God? God, I'm going to drive this long distance. I got to drive 500 miles next month. I got to go to the end of next month. I got to drive up to Washington, D.C. God, are you going to be on the highway with me? Are you going to send angels ahead of me and my family as we drive to go and spend time with my son and my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter? Are you going to be with us? Got to ask God. And God said, no, you got to make an adjustment. You know, even though that's something very important to you, you got to know God knows what's going to happen on the highway before you get on the highway. Always ask God. So David, God gave David victory over the battle. And the Philistines run away, verse 12, told you, that they run and left all their gods. You see, they had gods. They had gods that they can carry everywhere they want. They had control over their gods. Their gods were statues, idols, made with hands. So they can take the god and put the god on a rock hill, a mole hill, put him on the water, anywhere they want to put their god. God, they worship idols. But David has worshiping the supreme God that God can go anywhere he wants to. So here in verse 13, he says, but after a while, the Philistines returned and raided the valley again. And once again, David asked God what to do. Do not attack them straight on, God replied. Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, go out and attack. That will be the signal that God is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did what God commanded, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Giza. So David's fame spread away everywhere, and the Lord caused all the nations to fear David. See, David is not moving on his own accord. A lot of times we are facing so much stuff, we don't want to ask God. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Glory to God. We're talking about when the Lord promotes. And we told you that when the Lord promotes, he strengthens. He gives favor, and he shepherds. In other words, God leads you. If God promotes you, if God calls you from where you are, he has his intention is to take you somewhere. And he's going to take you somewhere you've never been before, and he's going to lead you. Remember we say, we always say every day, where the lifestyle we used to live, God took us out the lifestyle, and he's taking us somewhere. Here in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, let's start at verse 11. You can read this whole thing for yourself. It is so powerful. Let's go back up to verse 1. Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, you will be the shepherd over my people Israel. You will be Israel leader." So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in all. So in other words, he was 70 years when he finished his reign over Israel. He had reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. And from Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Now, David led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. The Jebusites taunted David, saying, "You'll never get in here. Even the blind and lame could keep you out." For the Jebusites thought they were safe. You know, the enemy has a way of taunting us. Not just you, not just me, but the enemy has a way of taunting us. The taunting is like a testing. He's trying us to see if we know who we are and whose we are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A woman began to tell me this morning, she said, Apostle, you know, I know the Lord, and I've served the Lord for so many years. And so she's a young woman. Well, I say young because she's younger than me, but she's not a spring chicken. She said, "But I got to a place after things seemed like the blessing would just stop, just like the fountain of prosperity has stopped for her." She says she began to get depressed. And she says, "You know, when people get depressed, that they get suicidal." I said, "Yes, a lot of people are committing suicide today because of financial situations, relationships, job situation. All this stuff is causing people to commit. People are committing suicide because of bullying and all this stuff in the school and relationships, all this stuff." So I said, "But I had to tell her, look, we have to say what God say. It's not all the time you're going to have the thousands of dollars in your pocket. But when you got 100 or you got 50 or you got 10, he's still God. He's the God of the $1 million and he's the God of the one penny. He don't change, you know. When I'm feeling good, he's God. When I'm feeling bad, he's God. When I'm sick, when my body don't feel well, he's still God. And I got to remember that how he kept me when I'm feeling good, and he will keep me while I'm feeling bad. So I begin to encourage her. Here the devil is taunting, they're taunting David, they're taunting the Israelites. They're mocking them. Hallelujah. But David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the city of David. On the day of the attack, David said to his troops, I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. Whoever attacks them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnels. No. They're going to go through these dirty tunnels. They're going to go through these dirty tunnels. Give me a minute. This dog looks like he wants to go. Give me a minute. Yo, this am I? Let that dog out. Hallelujah. So they're going to go through these dirty towns. And they're going to go through where nobody expect them to go through. But God's going to lead them through the town so they can defeat their enemies. Sometimes we got to go places that we don't want to go. God is leading. He's not always going to lead us on that really glorious place, that, you know, that fine place that you want to go, you know, where the nice stuff is all, but sometimes we got to go through some dirty places. Sometimes we got to go into the slums, and we got to minister to the people in the slums. We want to only go in the fine auditoriums. We want to go in the big stadiums, and we want to go into these nice edifices where they got the plush carpet and the plush velour seats and all that stuff. So these are the places that we want to go minister. When we go to India or Africa, we go in the slums. We go in the slums and minister to the people, people that don't have nothing to give us, but they have a praise to give to God. And that's what's the most important thing. So here in this thing here, glory to God, it went through the tunnels. Let's get, that is the origin of the saving the blind and the lame may not enter the house. So David made the fortress his home, and he called it the city of David. He extended the city, starting at the supporting terraces and working inward. And David became more and more powerful because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. See, when you have the heavenly host with you, working on your behalf, nobody can stop you. We say it so all. You know, she always hear grandma say, son, if God before you, nobody can be against you. And that's true. Hey, that is true. When you really know that you know that God, you can walk and really push your chest up for real. Not pushing your chest like you're proud, but pushing your chest of knowing that God is your leader. God is your shepherd. God is your keeper. So here in this word here, the Bible says that God's heaven armies were with him. Then verse 11 says, then King Hiram of Tyre sent messages to David along with cedar, timber, and carpenters and stone masons. And they built David a palace. And David realized that the Lord had confirmed him as king over Israel and had blessed his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. After moving from Hebron to Jerusalem, David married more concubines and wives. They had more sons and daughters. And these are the names of David's sons who were born in Jerusalem: Shema, Shabab, Nathan, Solomon, Ishar, Elishua, Nephi, Jephiah, Elishima, Eliada, and Eliphelet. God gave David a whole string of boys and girls. Because of why? Because of his obedience. Because of his faithfulness to God. Go to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. When God promotes you, God's going to strengthen you. Believe what I'm telling you. He's going to strengthen you. These books is all over here. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. King Haran of Tyre had always David. When Haran learned that David's son Solomon, was the king of Israel, he sent ambassadors to congratulate him. See, this same man was friends of Solomon's father, which is David. And Solomon now became king. David was getting old. So he sent ambassadors to congratulate him. That's a true friend. A true friend will be a friend to your sons and daughters. He wouldn't abuse them. And then he began to talk. Then Solomon sent this message back to Haran. You know that my father David was not able to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord his God because of his many wars waged against him by surrounding nations. He could not build until the Lord gave him victory over all his enemies. But now the Lord, my God, has given me peace in every side, on every side. I have no enemies at all, and all is well. So I am planning to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord, my God, just as he had instructed my father, David. For the Lord told him, your son, whom I will place on your throne, will build a temple to honor my name. Now, David could not build a temple for God because he had blood on his hands, because he was an adulterer. And God was not going to allow David to build a temple. See, this is why we have to be very careful. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, let me just divorce this man and get this other man and all this kind of stuff. Let me just leave this woman and get this other woman, you know. But you're not supposed to marry unless it was infidelity inside the relationship before. But if you just leave him because that she getting old and she don't want to have intercourse anymore, he's acting strange, you're still married to her, even though you're saying that divorce paper. So you're living a life that is a adulterous life. But so David did a lot of stuff, but God loved David. And why the Lord loved David so much, because David had a heart of repentance. You know, even though he was kept messing up all the time like we do, you know, don't point your finger at David. We do the same thing. We mess up all the time. And God is still faithful and he's still just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what he does. So, but he tells David, he said, you know, you're not going to build me, you're not going to build a house for me. You're not going to build me a house. You know, you're not going to build me a house, but your son who is going to come out of your loins, he will build me my house. He will build me the house that my name shall be. And you know the whole story about David, Solomon building that temple. That temple was so powerful. It was so anointed. The Bible said that when Solomon prayed, that the glory cloud came down. The glory of God came down and filled the sanctuary, filled the house, that the priests and the Levites, they could not enter. The people couldn't go and they fall on their faces outside the temple because of the glory of God had filled the place. Solomon, even though he did a lot of stuff like his father, Meyer had a lot of wives and had a lot of concubines, and Solomon did the same. He had a lot of wives and a lot of concubines. Same thing his father did. He outside of the people of Israel. This is what messed Solomon up. See, this is why we got to keep talking to God. You got to consult God. You got to talk to God before you do something. Don't feel that we have arrived because we know we got the PhD, we got the BA, we got the MA, we have the degrees now in ministry. And because we got the degrees, we forget who gave us the degrees, the ministry to start with. And we start doing our own thing. Solomon went outside of Israel and he started married to all the Ethiopian women and stuff like that. And what happened is, he's going into Cana and marrying the Canaanites and all this stuff. Jebusites. He married to so many women. What happened is, and all these concubines, and they were worshiping idols. So he got into idol worship. That's what brought down Solomon. He got into idol worship. God told him, don't marry to none of them people over there. They don't care nothing about me. How you gonna go check that where the Bible says we cannot be unequally yoked? Two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. We gonna marry to somebody that don't love your God. And guess what happened? You're gonna have a conflict. You're gonna have a conflict all the time. It's like two heads butting against each other all the time. Because you believe in one thing, they believe in something else. But I got somebody texting me from Chicago, nonstop on coming up on my page, but I'm not paying it. Listen what it says, glory to God. He says, verse 3, let's read verse 3. He said, you know that my father, David, was not able to build the temple to honor the name of the Lord his God because of the many wars waged against him by surrounding nations. He could not build until the Lord gave him victory over all the nations. But now the Lord my God has given me peace on every side. I have no enemies. And all is well. He says, so I am planning to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God, just as he had his father instructed my father. Just as God has instructed his father David. For the Lord told him, your son Solomon, this Solomon, whom I will place on your throne, will build the temple to honor my name. Therefore, please command that the cedars from Lebanon be cut.
I'm going to repeat and I'll be right back.
Okay. Cut for me. Solomon is talking to the king of Tyre. Let my men work alongside yours, and I will pay your men, whatever wages you ask. As you know, there is no one among us who can cut timbers like your Sidonians. When Haran received Solomon's message, he was very pleased and said, please praise the Lord today for giving David a wise son to be king of the great nation of Israel. Then he said this reply to Solomon, I have received your message, and I will supply all the cedar and cypress timber you need. My servant will bring the logs from the Lebanon mountains to the Mediterranean Sea and make them into rafts and float them along the coast to whatever place you choose. Then we will break the rafts apart so you can carry the logs away. You can pay me by supplying me with food for my household. No, listen. Can you imagine this? This king is talking to the King Solomon. He's David's friend, Solomon's father. He's talking. He's David's friend. This king is David's friend. David is Solomon's father. He knows the relationship that he and David had. All the timbers was very expensive compared that day. And the cypress tree. But there was good wood for making beams in the palace. And he told him straight up, all I need. Solomon requested, because David said the same. When David was building the place, he said, look, and David was going to build the palace first. He said that was all these people wanted to give him wood for free. David said, no, I'm not going to build a house for God for free. Whatever I get, I'm going to pay for, you know. So we got Blog Talk Radio in 2010. You know, I still got stuff on my page for free conference line. But I feel, you know, the Lord has done so much for me and doing so much for me. I wasn't going to get a line that was free. I want a line that I can record, I can talk, I can play back, people can go back and listen to it even when I'm dead and gone and their stuff is still up. People can go back in the archives and pull up messages and listen to. They can listen to this preacher, that preacher, myself or other people. This is what we wanted. And God give it to us. And even when the times are tough, they don't shut down the line. You know. So we thank God. So Solomon said he gonna pay them whatever they're choosing. The man said, look, the king of Tyre says, he tells Solomon, he said, look, all we desire is to just give us, just supply us with food. Give us food while we do all that we need. We're going to cut down the trees. We're going to bring the trees to you. And we're going to deliver the trees. All we need is give us some food. It says, so Haran supplied as much cedar and cypress timber as Solomon desired. In return, Solomon sent him an annual payment of 100,000 bushels of wheat for his household and 110,000 gallons of pure olive oil. Oh, my God. Ooh, I know what you're talking about. I got some of that olive oil in the kitchen. That pure olive oil is, well, you can tell when the olive oil is pure, it's green. It don't have that yellowy kind that, you know, people, the kind we anoint people with. It's green. You can smell it. You can smell the olive inside that. Don't have no contaminants in it, no additives. So the Lord gave wisdom to Solomon, just as he had promised. And Haran and Solomon made a formal alliance of peace. Then King Solomon conscripted a labor force of 30,000 men from all Israel. And he sent them to Lebanon in shifts, 10,000 every month, so that every month would be 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoram was in charge of this labor force. Solomon also had 70,000 common laborers and 80,000 quarry workers in the hill country, and 3,600 foremen to supervise the work. At the king's command, the quarry's large blocks of high quality stone and shaped them to make the foundation of the temple. Men from the city of Gebal helped Solomon and Haran's builders prepare the timber and stone for the temple. Now this is when God promotes you. When God promotes you, he gives you favor. We're talking. This is a simple message the Lord gave us last night. When God promotes us, God gives us supernatural favor. People have us that. You say, well, I didn't know this body was going to do this. This body was going. No, God gives you supernatural favor. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Glory to God. I don't think we went there. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's see if we went. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, glory to God. We'll see. Glory to God. This is what God does. When God. Yeah, we went to 2 Samuel already. Yes, we did there. Let's see. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Glory to God. Let's see. Let's go to, yes, 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's start at verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they mobilized all the forces to capture him. We read that already. Let's go to Joshua 17. That's all right. That's good. That's good. That's a good thing. Glory to God. When God promotes us, you can always tell. He strengthens us. He gives us supernatural favor. And he shepherds us. That's how you know that you're promoted. You will find that you're going places. You're being led places that you normally wouldn't go by yourself. God does it. Computer is messing up, but let's go back here. Computer is messing up. Glory to God. Let's go to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers and go back to Joshua's. Numbers 24. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Numbers 24. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Computer messing up right here. Numbers 24 and 7. Let's go up to Let's go up to verse 1. Thank you, Lord. You know, these scriptures, I write these scriptures, but come on. Come on. The dog is driving me crazy. Now, in chapter Numbers 24, verse 1 says, but now Balaam realized that the Lord was determined to bless Israel, so he did not resort to divination as before. Instead, he turned and looked out towards the wilderness, where he saw the people of Israel camp, tribe by tribe. Then the people of God came upon him, and this is the message he delivered. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor, the message of the man whose eyes see clearly, the message of one who hears the word of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who bows down with eyes wide open. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob. How lovely are your homes, O Israel. They spread before me like palm groves, like gardens by the riverside. They are like tall trees planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their buckets. Their offsprings have all they see. Their king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. For them, he is as strong as a wild ox. He devours all the nations that oppose them, breaking their bones in pieces, shooting them with arrows. Like a lion, Israel crouches and lies down, like a lioness who dares to arouse her. Blessed is everyone who blesses you, O Israel, and cursed is everyone who curses you. When God promotes you, he will cause people to bless you, and those that come against you will be cursed. It's all in this text right here. It's all in this text. We're talking about when the Lord promotes. A lot of people think promotion lightly. They play with it like it's a game. He said, King Balak flew into a rage against Balaam. He angrily clapped his hands and shouted, I call you to curse my enemies. Instead, you have blessed them three times. You know the whole story. And now, get out of here. Go back home. I promise to reward you richly, but the Lord has kept you from your reward. Balaam told Balak, don't you remember what I told your messengers? I said, even if Balak were to give me this palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord. I told you that I could say only what the Lord says. No, I am returning to my own people. But first, let me tell you what the Israelites will do to your people in the future. And then he got the final message. He got the message. May God give you a word. That is the word you got to speak. You cannot allow anyone to entice you to speak what they want you to speak. You must say what God say to say. God promotes you to speak for him. Do you hear me today? God promotes us to be his speakers in this earth realm. But sometimes we deviate from doing what the master say. And we in turn do what we want to do. But you see how David, as we were speaking about David in 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and 2 Samuel 5 and 1 Kings chapter 5, we had talked with David did what God said to do. Even though he was an adulteress and a murderer, he did what God, and he repented for his sins. He didn't walk around and say, well, I got these soldiers that are valid, men of valor, and they know how to fight. They know how to sling a sling, how to shoot an arrow. They know how to throw the sword. They know how to fight. He wouldn't run around boasting. You saw when he overcome and defeated the Philistines, what he said, God did it. He didn't say David, Jesse's son did it, because he know how to shoot, how to throw a sling, or he know how to use a sword. He didn't say that. He said, God did it. God did it. Hallelujah. Let's go now to Joshua 17, like we told you we were going to. Joshua 17. And we're talking about when God promotes. When the Lord promotes. Don't forget it's him that gives promotion. We get up, we've been doing this and we've been doing that, and all of a sudden God touched the man of God or woman of God to see you in the congregation and decide, well, he's going to go into prayer and fasting for you because he wants to be sure that it's God speaking to him or her, and then they anoint you to serve in the kingdom, and you act like it is you. You don't give God no praise. Chapter 17 and 15. And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the woods country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both there who are Bashem and her towns, and there who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and have great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. Excuse me. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood. And thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Joshua began to encourage the people. He's got the same mindset as King David. He knows that God is with him. He knows that God is not going to leave them and that God is not going to forsake them. So Joshua began to encourage the people. Sometimes the people want to give up. They want to throw in the towel. They need a little encouragement. Joshua chapter 18. They need some encouragement. Listen what Joshua says, Joshua chapter 18 and 16. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusai. On the south, and descended to Enrogel, and was drawn from the north and went from the Enshemesh and went forth towards Gilead, which is over against the going up of Adullam, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passed along towards the side over against Araba, northwards, and went down into Araba. And the border passes along to the side of Beth-le-Gluf, northwards, and the going of the border, where at the north there of the South Sea, at the South Sea of Jordan. This was the south coast, and Jordan was the border of it on the east side. Thus was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin bought by the course of thereof, and about according to their families. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho and Beth-le-Hog and the Valley of Kizeth. Now, Joshua encouraged the children of Israel, and as you look here, you can see that how much they are conquered. How much they are conquered because of one man that God chose to use, Moses' minister, that carried the banner. He carried the banner. He carried that flagpole that Moses, after Moses put it down, and God took Moses and Joshua carried it, bring them children into the land of Canaan, and God constantly blessing him. Why? Because he had a mindset to honor God, to obey God, to do just what God said. God promoted him from being Moses' helper now to the leader of the children of Israel. When God promotes, he leads. When God promotes you, he leads. A lot of times what happens with us is that we get promoted by God, and we push our chest up like we promote ourselves, and we stop seeking God for instructions, because now we think that we arrived, we got the building now, we got the house now, we got the car, we got the money in the bank, so we forget we don't want to fast anymore. We were fasting when we were looking to get to be established. But now we're established now, so we're not concerned with fasting and praying anymore. Go to First Chronicles chapter 11. First Chronicles. I was looking over these books last night, and I was saying, my God, man, how did God use these great men? And, you know, you go further. You see how God used some great women in the books too. But we talking about these men that God used, that trusted and relied, depended on God. Chapter 11, verse 15. This book is full of stuff, I tell you. He says, David. Now, three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. And the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hole, and the Philistine garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. And the tree break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord, and said, my Lord, my God, forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of these lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the three for lifting up his spear against 300. He slew them and had a name among the three. Of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not to the first three. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. More also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. Oh, my Lord. And he slew an Egyptian and a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian hand, my Lord Jesus, I tell when God promotes you, God do only. I said he strengthens you with a spear like a weaver's beam. This is a big man. And he was a giant. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked his spear out of the Egyptian hand and slew him with his own spear. Do you hear this? I'm talking today that when the Lord promotes, when the Lord promotes, and what he told me last night, when he promotes, promotion, when promotion comes, he strengthens you. He strengthens the one that he promotes. He gives us favor. And he leads us. He shepherds us. Who are shepherding you today? Ask yourself. Let's go over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'll tell you something. As I read these scriptures before. Thank you, Brother Deacon. I read these scriptures before. But while I was studying them last night, I tell you something, I begin to really reminisce on the God that we serve. Sometimes we take him lightly. But I got news to tell you. He is powerful. He is powerful. The God that we serve is powerful. Hallelujah. He's talking to the God that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's talking about a God that said, let us make man our own image. He's talking about a God that caused the wind and the waters to be still. He controlled the elements. He's powerful. And he wants to lead us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to empower us. Listen to me. Glory to God. First Samuel chapter 30. And you want to read this. We're going to hit you one verse, and then we're going to jump back. Listen to this, what it says. David here now, remember we sat here when David was going out against the Philistines. He asked the Lord if he should go. He asked the Lord if he should go, and if the Lord had me with him. And Lord tell him, go. And the Lord gave the Philistines over to David. Because why? David had inquired. He didn't say, well, I had 600 men, and I'm going down here, and we're going to destroy these Philistines. After the Philistines break through and burned down the city, Ziklag, and took all the women and the children and the men. They didn't kill nobody. Even the livestock they took. They just took everybody and burned the city. And then the men with David wanted to stone David because they feel David kept them away from the city. This is what I felt. It's not written in the book. But I felt that they felt that David kept them away out warring against the enemy too long. And when they come back to the city, their wives and their daughters and their sons, and even the animals, the cat, the dog, everything was gone. And the city was burnt. And the men wanted to stone David. David consulted the Lord. And here David had another here in Ziklag, here another encounter. He says, verse 8 says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, or go after them, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Not some. Let's go back to verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire and had taken the women captives and that there were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their hands, their voice, and wept. And until they had no more power to weep. And David, two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired, David said, look, bring me that holy ephod. I got to talk. I have to have a conversation with the Lord. The people want to stone me. And the only one that can give me favor with these people that they don't kill me is the Lord. But he asked the Lord if he should pursue the enemy. We want to go after the enemy without knowing if we can be successful. We want to go after the enemy in our own intellect with our own strength. We will lose. I told a lady I was ministering today, Louisiana, on the phone. I said, when we talked about Jesus, when Jesus was tested after he was fasting and praying, no sooner he finished fasting and praying did Satan show up. And when he showed up, the first thing he wanted to do is change the stones into bread. I said, after he tested Jesus three times, the Bible said a very profound thing that really caught my eyes years ago. The Bible said that he departed from testing Jesus for a season. And right there, it caught my eye, my spiritual eye, that when he left for a season, it tells you that he's returning. And then when we look at John chapter 14 and 30, we see that there in the book that Satan returned. How we know? Because Jesus says so. He says, hereafter he's speaking to the disciples and he's preparing them because Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. He's getting ready to give up his life. Listen, leading on today, he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Very key word. You can preach right on that verse. If you would like to preach on one verse, you can preach right on that verse. Because it says that we have to live a lifestyle that when Satan returns, the Bible says when he leaves, he looks for a dry place. And if he don't find a dry place, he comes back with seven other demons, and it's worse than the first time. We have to live our life that when Satan come back, remember we come out, you know the drugs, you know the stuff we talk about every day. You know the vices, the vices that we had. All of us had different types of vices. Somebody was an alcoholic, some were drug addicts, some were a womanizer, some were a thief, somebody was, whatever your vice was, let's put it there. And God deliver us from that vice. Satan was, we were set free from the stronghold that Satan had on us. I got news for you. He's coming back. You say, well, I'm free, but he's coming back. Yes, you're free in Christ's name. The Bible says, who the Son set free is free indeed. Yes, you're free, but you better live a life that's free. You better stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay connected with people of like mind that are living this thing because he's coming back. And if we don't have our house in order, guess what? It's going to be worse for us. You ever know that people that come in here, people come in here and they say they love the Lord, but when they walk away and go back in the world doing stuff, they get worse. They become worse. They can't keep their head above water because they're not dealing with the same demon. They're dealing with more than one now, more than one. And we play around with salvation. Let's go to, where we at? Let's go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 23. We in First Samuel 23. I'm almost finished. Glory to God. I'm almost finished. I tell you, when I was talking to that lady today, I got a word from the Lord. I don't even know if I wrote it down. My Lord, I got a word. I gotta go back in there. Jesus, I miss being. I think I got it in the computer though. I heard a word and I wrote it down. Say, Lord, had to teach that word. Now, chapter 23, 1 Samuel. Listen to this. Let's start. We want to give you verse 2 to 3. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said unto him, unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? The man says, we are here in Judah and we are trembling. We can't even stand up still. Listen, girl, you got to say it in the Word. We are shaking in our boots. And you want us to go up against the Philistines that's really more than us in the natural. They got giants. David had inquired of the Lord. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise and go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Abimelech, fled to David, to Keilah, that he came down with, and he fought in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand. for he is shut in, but entering into a town that has gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. See, sometimes you're going to go some places that folk don't think that they can capture you, that they can belittle you. Hallelujah. They can dispose of you because you are a man of God. They forget who you are and whose you are. David is being directed by God in every move that he makes. Saul is defiant on everything that David stands for. He's a disobedient, stiff-necked, rebellious king of Israel. God has already summoned the prophet to anoint David. David was anointed. And David knew that Saul secretly packed this mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring Pedah the ephah. Listen to him. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hands? Will Saul come down as thy servant have heard, O Lord God of Israel? I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hands of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the woods, and Jonathan went to his house. I tell you something, God gives you supernatural favor. When you're not even looking for the favor, you're seeking God for direction, but God gives you, God sends you more favor. See, when we seek God for direction, God will give us extra. You know, when Solomon prayed and asked God for wisdom, understanding to judge the people, when God asked him, he could ask for anything. God would have given him because he's David's son. And God loved David. God loved David's sons, his children. He asked for wisdom that he might judge the people of God rightfully. And God told him, because you didn't ask for all of that stuff, just by a prayer, God will give you wisdom and understanding, but also I will give you, I will bless you with more than any other one ever had on the earth. God began to tell him in so many words. I'm just paraphrasing. David is asking God, constantly asking God. Many scriptures in the Bible, he's pressing God to give him information, give him instruction. Go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Oh, my Lord, I tell you, I got two more scriptures I want to give you, and then I'm going to close it. close it out. Now, look. I don't care what's going on. You're looking, people are telling me that people are going through so much all over the country, all over the world. I was talking to some people yesterday in different parts of Africa, and they were telling me it's so hard. And I tell somebody, I said, look, I'm going to send you some money as soon as I get my check. I'm going to send you some money. I'm going to bless you. Because we here crying out. We saying it's so hard. But if you ever just step over there and see how hard it is for them people. Listen what he said to Joshua. Joshua chapter 16:27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised through all the country. In other words, Joshua's fame, because God was with him, as he was with Moses. Joshua's fame, that he is a child of God, that he is the servant of God, has been spread all over the country. The more and the closer you get to God, the more people are going to know who you are. It don't matter what you have. The important thing is you have God. And God is your leader. God is your shepherd. God is your keeper. God is your shield. He is your buckler. He is your strong tower. He is your healer. He is your supplier. My God, he is everything that he said he is to you. Everything that he said he would be for us, he is. And when we cling to that, God begins to manifest himself in a miraculous way that others will see and come. This is where we've got to let the light to shine through us. We've got to let the light shine through us. We got to allow the light of God to shine through us that others will see and glorify God. Stop thinking about ourselves. Exodus chapter 15. Let the light shine. Right, 2 minutes. She has seven things going on in the court. Where is she going to be blessed? I'm telling you. This woman tells me, she said, I've been telling my mama. About you, Apostle, said, you know, this, she said, I've been telling my mama about you, the kind of ministry you all are doing over there. And she says, I've been praying for these things to come true, said, because I want to bless your ministry. She said, I want to bless you, because you, the things you do for the people, for the poor. I said, well, praise God. You know, we're not sitting here waiting on this. So we praising God because people are praying for us. We praying for them, they're praying for us. That's what it is, reciprocating prayer. They're praying for us, we praying for them. We want to bless them, they want to bless us. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. So we can bless the poor. Them that can't give us and don't have anything to give us, we want to bless them. God is blessing us. And he's going to bless us even more so we can bless the poor. We can bless the orphans. That's what God's going to do. And nobody can stop that. Can't stop. Here, look, Exodus chapter 15 and verse, let's start at verse 14. He says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Saul shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. He says, then the dukes of Media shall be amazed. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembled, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Cana shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till the people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. See, I want to tell you this. It doesn't matter who come against you. Hear me, people out there in computer land. God has already made a way for you to pass through. Israel is coming out of Egypt in this text. They're coming out. But God is making pathway for them to come through. God has already made a pathway for us. His pathway that he made for us is Jesus Christ. He is the pathway for us to get out of this sinful, darkened world that we're living in. That we don't have to die and go into hell. Jesus is the way out. The man put a picture on YouTube, and there's a small gate. The analogy from the Bible. It's a very small gate. And one man is sitting at the desk. He's like taking names. That's the way I see it. It don't say that in the photograph or whatever we call it. But he looks like he's taking names, and he has a book like he's checking the names in the book who's going to go. But guess what? It seems like more people. Then there was another gate, was very wide, and there was the reaper. The reaper dressed in black, covered over, head covered over, got a cape on, and a hoodie cape, black robe, and he got the sickle. You know that they say the reaper carries the sickle that it looks like you can cut the wheat with itself. And this man comes up to the gate, this wide gate. He had so much money. He had his big old suitcases. Possibly had his big suitcase. Big. The money was coming up the size of the suitcase. But the reaper told him, you can't bring nothing in. You can't bring nothing in. Do you hear what I say? And I begin to look at that stuff, and I begin to analyze how people are thinking today, that the more they have, the more they're going to be able to keep. But when we die and our flesh man dies, we going back out the way we came in. You might have a fine suit on when they put you in a casket. You might have a nice dress on, nice wig, and your fingernails dab up, they bless your face, and they put all that stuff on your face to make you look presentable. I don't know why they put a lot of work in that, trying to make you look presentable for the people who come into the homegoing service. But when you get down in that earth, them bugs going to eat up all your flesh, your hair, your next week, everything they're going to eat up, your suit, your shoe, everything. The only thing they might not eat, your watch. But when they dig that grave up to put some watch in there, the grave digger would get your watch and go ring and stuff. Nothing. The reaper told the man, you can't take nothing with you. Just you. People walking through. There was more people going to the wide gate, going into hell, than going through the narrow gate. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying today, God has given us favor. He has promoted us from the lifestyle that we were living into a lifestyle of holiness, righteousness. Jesus put us in right standing with the Father. And he wants us to live according to the instructions that he has given us. He has promoted us, strengthened us, given us favor, and he wants to lead us. He is not going to force himself on us. Well, they keep saying, talking about the government, talking about taking away the microphone from this body or that body. They're going to take the mic. That's what they're saying now. This body going to take the mic from the next body. They call them the bullhorn. I don't know if you all hear it. It's a lot on the, and you listen, when you watch the different station, they say, this body going to take the bullhorn from this body, and they're using the bullhorn the wrong way. Well, God is not going to take the bullhorn from you. You have to give it to him. In other words, he's not going to come and take over your life without you surrendering on your own will. Your choice. It's your choice if you want to go through the narrow gate or the wide gate. He didn't promote you for you to get all the stuff that you want in this world and put it on and put your heart on the stuff that you get in this world. God is going to bless each and every one of his children because he told us that in the word. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's what God said. So God wants us to prosper financially, physically, and spiritually. like Minister Jordan was saying yesterday, he wants us to have nice suits, nice shoes. Well, I wish he would give me some hair. That's all I'm missing right now. I wish he would give me some hair so I can have me a nice afro again. But I guess he don't want me to have an afro now my old age. He says, your hands will get too tired trying to comb it. But he blessed me with good health at my age, and I thank God for that. You know, some people at my age, they're fighting. They're fighting to breathe. They're fighting to walk. They can't go in the bathroom on their own. You know, some people my age. So I'm so blessed, not fortunate, blessed that God has blessed me with good health and all the necessary things that I need in life that God has supplied for me and for us. So we thank God. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word that you have given us today. And God, we pray that you continue to bless us to hear. Lord, some people can't hear one thing. But Father, you have given us ears to hear, eyes to see, and you've given us mouth to speak. And Father, you have given us the activities of our limbs. So we praise you and we glorify you. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you for our president. Thank you for the Congress. Thank you for the vice president, for the administration. Thank you for the Supreme Court Justice Department. Lord, we thank you for the police department. Thank you for all our teachers, oh God, and for the children. Lord, we pray that they come together and that the children listen and adhere to what is being said. And Father, we ask, God, that you touch the fire department. We are losing so many firemen going into fires trying to save other people's lives. And Lord, we pray for the police department and for the policemen that are going to. A lot of policemen are getting shot down, and they're getting shot like it's a setup. You know, they're going to on a call for domestic violence, and then the police end up losing their lives. We pray, Father God, that they begin to use common sense, oh God. And Lord, we pray that you touch those that are going through, you know, trials and tribulations, financial trials, and it bringing a strain on their marriage, and they begin to fight. They want a divorce. Lord, let us know that the marriage is not built on finances, but it's built on compassion for each other, love for each other, understanding. Oh, Father, we pray, God, that you allow us to talk again like we used to talk, all marriages, Lord. We pray, Father, that you begin allow us to love like we used to love before, Lord. Lord, we are praying today, God, that every marriage that is going through right now that you touch, because we always say marriage is ordained in heaven, but it has to be worked out on earth. We ask you, Father God, to touch and touch our children. Children are committing suicide. They said there's more suicide taking place now by children. We got a big case going on here in Boston, Massachusetts, where this young man killed his mother, killed his grandfather, and Lord, of course, he wanted to get all the millions of dollars that they have. And he almost got away. He almost got away. But the government began to, police investigators began to search every crack and crevice. And, you know, the devil got away of making mistakes. And all you got to do is leave him alone. He'll make mistakes. And the boy made some mistakes, and they got him. Oh, he was good. He was good. God is saying today, don't be misled by the tricks of the enemy. You listen to what the word of God is saying for us today. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that God might use us to glorify his name. We're not here to pull down anybody. We are here to lift up people in the precious name of Jesus. And we always testify that we don't know it all. We don't have it all. But we are striving by the blood of Jesus Christ to get some more. I want to get some more. I want to get some more Jesus. I'll tell you, I want to get some more here. I want to get some more understanding. Hallelujah. I want somebody to preach and teach so I can sit back at the table. You know, you go to the table every day and eat. But you. It's good when somebody is cooking. You know, I like to cook. So here, I do that here in the house. You know, sometimes my family cook, and it's good. But I like to cook too, but I like Vendejo. God said, well, let me taste your hand, your style, your the way how you put your the ingredients together. I like that. And that's the same way with ministry. We're praying that some folks will get freed up so they can come out and help us. You know, but otherwise, we're going to come on. We're going to find something. We got much. There's much word in the 66 books that once you search, you'll find it. There's much word in there. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us today. And, Lord, we pray that somebody be promoted today in the spirit realm, even as you promoted that lady in Louisiana. Lord, you took her from a place that she was, and you're bringing her to the place that she needs to be. Yes, Lord, you're carrying her. She haven't got there yet, just like I haven't got there yet. We haven't gotten there yet, but you're taking us to that place. Oh, God, that's much higher than the flesh, the natural body can comprehend. You're taking us into that realm of holiness, oh, God, where you can speak clearly to our spirit man. We ask, Father God, that if there's anyone today that don't know you today as Lord and Savior, and they want to know you, they have a pricking in their heart, oh, God, that they might come out today and just testify that you are Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, oh, God, to just surrender your life to him. And one of my pastor's friends over in Texas, you saw always says, he said, it's a good day. He says, Apostle, today is a good day to know Jesus. You know, and I didn't get it till he got his own church over there now. You know, we ordained him in Texas, and now he got a church in Houston, Texas. I said, well, church building. I said, well, glory. He saw, I said, man, it's a good day to know Jesus, to give your heart. He said, because tomorrow's not promised to no one. He said, not even the afternoon, the evening, the next hour. He said, but while you can hear and you can speak, this is time for you to open your mouth and invite God to take control of your soul. He said, don't worry about your body, because your body going back to the dirt. He said, the ants and the bugs going to eat up your body, but your soul is what's important. He said that the Lord wants your soul, and Satan wants your soul. That's what the whole ruckus is about. Your soul, the spirit man. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you understand, you must first understand, come to that place that you know that you know that you know that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And you got to know that you can't get to the Father, you can't get to that place in eternity without the help of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. You need to be washed in the blood. All of us. Constantly be washed. We need to stay. My grandparents, they used to say, you got to stay under the blood. I didn't understand that. I was a young man. They said, you got to stay underneath the blood, boy. Boy, you got to stay underneath the blood. I really didn't understand what they were saying. Well, get on. What blood is that? You got to stay underneath the protection of the Lord. When you're staying underneath the protection of the Lord, you're doing what he says. You know, we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. We're hearing the word and we're staying under what the word does. The word cleanses, the word refreshes, the word sharpens us. The word gives you that hunger and makes you want more. When you get in there, your words start to come alive, you want to get more. David says, I have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of the tender mercy, block out my transgressions. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is what David's saying. He says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judge. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David, begin to, with a mindset and a heart of repentance, come to before the Lord, and he began to lay his case before the Lord. He told the Lord who he was, what he had done in that short text right there. He acknowledged his sin before the Lord, and that's the first place of repentance. We put all this already inside the sermon, where Peter said that to the people, you need to repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter says this in Acts 2 and 38. He said that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. Acts 4 and 12. So we cannot get to heaven without Jesus. He's the one that shed his blood at Calvary. He's the one that was pierced, the one that was nailed, the one that was crowned for all transgression, all iniquities, all sins. He did this. He did all this for us. One who knew no sin, but he died for sin. I say the king died for a peasant. Hallelujah. So that we will have access to the tree of life. And all we have to do is accept his love and his grace, his mercy, and receive the gift of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that which you believe in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever. That means anybody. He didn't pick it out. He didn't pick it out the one that's got an office job or is part of the government or is a part of the police department or you know, he didn't pick out anybody that had a good job or doing great at the, no, he says, and whosoever. That means anybody. Anybody who called upon his name in repentance. Anyone who submit their heart to him will be saved. You hear me? If you submit to him, to his will and to his will, and make a decision that you're going to live this life, you will be saved. So right now we're going to thank God that I'm running late. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what you need to do right now is call upon him in repentance. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin. Yes, I've been living in sin and doing what I choose to do, how I feel to do it, whenever I feel to do it. But today, Lord Jesus, I come just as I am, believing what you have done at Calvary for me. And today I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system, all that it stands for, the sinful acts that it commits. And today I'm asking, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. I'm inviting you to come in. Take over control. Come and sit on the throne of my heart. I no longer want to be the king of my life, but I want you to be. I want you to take control, to lead me, guide me, strengthen me, empower me to live a life that pleases God. And Jesus, if you do this for me, Lord, I promise I will praise you all the days of my life. I will live for you. I will testify of your goodness and your mercy and your grace before men and women. Hallelujah. Before kings and peasants, I will do this. If you say that and you believe what you just said of your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now what you need to do is get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts so you'll get a gospel understanding of this Jesus that we preach and teach about every day. And then once you do that, what you can do is call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, say, look, you know, I received the gift of salvation and I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And call up your friends, your family, co-workers, all those you're familiar with, and tell them that you're getting baptized. Some folk might act surprised, but tell them you're getting baptized and you want them to come and witness this great occasion. It's called a liquid grave. You're going down that water and you're declaring to all the witnesses that are there that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. You're no longer your own. You belong to him. He has purchased you with the blood that he has shed at Calvary. Hallelujah. What a glorious time it's going to be when you go down that water and come up with that water, knowing that you know that you are saved and sanctified. Now, you have given your life, but it's more than that. You know, I like to tell you, it's more than just saying, I do. I do believe Jesus died at the cross. I accept the gift of salvation. Now, you have to live like one who accepts. You know, people say they get married. They say, they go to the altar and it says, do you promise to love and cherish and keep her in sickness and health until death do us part? You say, I do. But then 3 months after, they say they don't. Why they say they don't? Because now they start to abuse the woman, abuse the man. They act like they didn't ever marry to that person. Then they say, another one, they say, I will. They say, will you take care of her? Will you do this, do that? And they say, I will. And then 3 months down the road, they say, I won't. I don't, you know. So everything changes. Well, I don't have enough money, so I don't want to be with her. Is she not helping me doing this? No. You got to stand. Same way with salvation, Christianity. When things get tough and it seems like all hell is breaking loose, you still got to stand. You're still a born-again believer. You still have to stand. That's what it's all about. You just don't throw in the towel because things, the pastor didn't act right, then respond and call out your name at the altar. No, the pastor called out the name. Well, my son so-and-so is my deacon, my elder, my minister in the gospel. They don't call your name. They call all the other people out name, but they don't call your name. So the pastor didn't recognize me and call out everybody else, but didn't recognize me. Who cares? Pastor don't have a heaven or hell to put. Don't let that call you to go to hell. I'm telling you right now. Okay, just know that you're working for the Lord. You're on assignment like the blues brothers. You're on assignment from the Lord. And get yourself involved in ministry and start working for the Lord, okay? I love you guys so much. People are jumping off, but good thing is that they hear the word, they heard the word. All right. We don't have a preacher for tomorrow yet, but you can believe it, Blog Talk is still going to be on. So we thank God for you all. We pray that those of you all that heard the word, that the word bless you as it blessed me. I tell you, because I was blessed with this word, knowing that God is promoting me to another dimension in him. The line is now open. Glory be to God.
God bless you, Apostle Kelly. I think I lost you yesterday, but I thank God for the word. Prophetess Percy, she been trying to get on. She had to get a new phone. Her phone had started having problems, so she wasn't able to call you or get on, but she sent her love and respects to the broadcast, and as soon as she get her phone fixed, she'll be back on to help and you know, listen to more of the word of God. But yeah, I enjoyed it, man. The word was good, and every day is good in my soul to hear the word of God. I can't wait to get in a place where I can help you also. That's my prayer, where I can get in that place where I'll be a help to you in ministry. But I just thank God for you. Yeah, the word was good, and hearing the story about David, you know, how God keep us. He always keep us, man. I tell you, you know, what would we do if God didn't keep us, man? What would we go if God didn't protect us, you know? And so, you know, he told us, if we delight ourselves in him, he'll give our heart desire. And he told us, and I think Matthew chapter 6, he said, don't worry about what we're going to eat or drink. Sometimes we worry about those things, you know, having a human experience. Or we worry about things that we shouldn't worry about because, you know, we're dead and stuff that come in our life that, you know, either we cause on ourselves or stuff just happens through, you know, different debt. But, you know, God is always faithful just to bring us out, you know, of things. And, you know, and we all have to care. I'm in, you know, sometimes my life be like that. But, you know, it teaches us how to trust him and do what we can to keep our faith in him. You know, our faith do be tested, you know, even when you minister and you're living, you know, this life, you know, take faith be tested, you know. And then, you know, sometimes people forget, you know, when they get saved, they think all the problems go away. When that's not true, you know, the Bible says that man is born of a woman, is a few days old and full of trouble. So you're going to have trouble whether you serve God or not, you know. But through that trouble, he helps you to bear your trouble. to help you. You know, that's why he said, come unto me, all of you heavy laden, and he'll give you rest. His rest is his word. His rest is his spirit. It give you rest through all the things that you go through, even when you get saved. You know, God's word, I was thinking on that today. You know, even when you get saved, you know, sometimes we forget about the things we did in our past. And you know, God will forgive us, but we still have to pay. You know, the Bible says, for the wages you sin is death. And then the Bible says, whatever you reap, you're going to sow. So, you know, that's natural and spiritual. And that don't mean that God not with you. It's just some things we have to, you know, learn how to have faith in, even through the choices that we make. And, you know, God, and it's just a blessing that he bears all our troubles and our sins, even though some things we bring on ourselves, you know, by the choices we make, even how we eat, the way we think, you know, the things we watch, the way we conduct ourselves. Sometimes we make bad choices, but through it all, he helped us to bear our trouble, and it's just a blessing in that God do that. I thank God for his faithfulness towards us, even though we don't deserve it. Neither one of us deserve his mercy and his grace. Neither one of us, not even me. But I just thank God for his mercy and grace and his, and every opportunity he gave me to be able to be saved and delivered and free. I'm not free because of myself or because I can quote the Bible. That don't make the Bible say who the Son said free is free indeed. So I just thank God for his freedom. I thank him for his blessing, for blessing me. You know, it's a lot of things in my life I need God to do, but I got to learn how to have faith and wait on him and trust him. You know, sometimes it feel like Lord, when you going to move? When you praying and you think God ain't going to move, and man, you like, Lord, I really need you. Lord, I need a financial blessing. Lord, I need you because I need this situation to move. And sometimes, you know, you just have to, you know, wait and just have faith. You know, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11 says, for the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Even though you can't see it, even though you don't know how it's going to come, you got to have faith. Otherwise, Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith to believe that he is God, and then he can do for them that diligently seek after him and trust in him. And so I just thank God for the word. It was good. Every day is good. Thank God for the faithful man of God, Apostle Canada, for being faithful like he is on his prayer line. And every man and woman of God is on his prayer line. You know, a lot of us have our own lives and things we have to do. But it's a blessing that he take the time, and we all take the time to come on here and share the word of God and be able to help others that need the word of God. Because that, you know, that's what's going to keep us. That's what's going to keep us. You know, the word of God, Jesus said, no man should live by bread alone, but by every word that received out of the mouth of God. So I just thank God for the word, and I just pray that y'all continue being blessed, and that, you know, God give us favor and no accounts of all our debt. And he continue blessing us in this world. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. You didn't lose me yesterday. After you finished, man, I was praying up a storm. Minister, I was praying up a storm. And then I saw everybody drop off the line. So I look at my phone. My phone is muted out. Mr. Jones, my phone was on mute, and I had set my phone down. I was walking around praying. I was walking around praying, man. After you start, I was walking around praying, and I thank God for you, and I was walking around praying. I said, well, everybody jumped off. That's why five people on the line. I said, everybody jumped off. I said, my Lord. So I took my phone and said, the phone says, phone muted. You didn't hear none of that prayer. I said, wow.
Nah, you'd be fine. God heard it.
I said, let me just, but I had time, so I wanted the prayer to be on the line, you know, the recorder too. So I said, Lord, okay, let me just pray and close out. Yeah, God is good. And then he gave me that thing last night, and I said, wow, it was so beautiful, the Lord to think about us like this and then show us, you know. And as I was talking about David and Saul, and Joshua and Moses. See how God just used that stuff that nobody thinks he's going to use. And the ones that think that they so got it all together, God will pull them down. And Saul thought he had it all together. He thought he had it together, but he was a disobedient king. You know, he's ruling over Israel, you know. And that's what the people want. They want a king. God give them Saul. But Saul had his own way of doing stuff. You see, David was different than Saul. Even though David was a adulterer, he sent Uriah to the forefront of the building to the battle to get killed so he can have Bathsheba. David still had a heart of compassion. He had a heart of repentance. And David was talking to God all the time. He was constantly talking to God and seeking God for God's guidance. So that was the difference. Saul just went on and do what he wants to do. God told him to look, kill all the Amalekites. Kill them all. Kill the babies, kill the horse, kill the cow, kill the sheep, kill the goat, kill everything. He said, don't you save nothing. And Saul kept the best of the people, the strongest men, that men that looked like bodybuilders, the prettiest women, men, women that looked like the ones should be on Ebony magazine. He kept them all. He kept the gold. He kept the silver. He kept all the stuff. God said, destroy everything. And that was his downfall. You know, that would separate him and David. David, all through the book, David asked God, should I go? Should I pursue this? David was a man of valor. He was a smart commander. But he was, I always asked God, you can never get too big in your ministry that you forget to pray. If your ministry is too big that you can't fall on your knee, you will fall. You will fall sooner or later. Sooner or later. And that's what Saul get.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So the line is open. If anyone else want to come on and encourage us, give God glory, you can come on in. If not, I'm going to ask the Minister Jones to pray us out. Going once, going twice, going three times. Okay, Minister Jones, pray and close us out. We'll see you all time. Mother, as soon as she get a phone, she let me know.
I just thank God. Send a man of God. Thank God for the word. And all that you have read. And his Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you today, Lord. We bless your holy name. Lord, we give you glory and honor. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your presence. Lord, you said, with a two or three gathered in your name, you'll be in the midst of us.
Yes.
Lord, we're here in the name of your name, Jesus Christ, the name above every name. God, we bless your name, Yahshua HaMashiach. God, we bless your name today. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is forever settled in the heavens. Your word is forever settled, Lord. Lord, you're the beginning. You are the ending. God, the earth is your footstool and the fullness thereof, Lord. And Lord, you own every cloud and everything that's in it, God. You can own us. And God, we just thank you for your power, your strength, thank you for all the glory, for all you already done. God, thank you for your power, your word, your promise. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, you said in your word, if we abide in you, anything you take, it shall be given, Lord. And Lord, we just need more of you today, Lord. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to draw close to you. Help us, Lord, Lord, to be holy, even as you are holy today. Lord, bless the word, Lord, that he's read. Lord, help us to hide the word in our heart. Lord, if we want to sin against you, Lord, keep us in the name of Jesus, Lord. And those, Lord, that don't have and need, Lord, the homeless, Lord, even all across Africa, Lord, that's in need, God. We pray for them, Lord, that you make a way for them, Lord. Lord, that you will rain down blessings on them, Lord, that they'll have the things that they need, whether it's food, clothing, water. Lord, God, bless our resources, Lord, that we'll be a blessing, God. God, open doors, God. Only you can do it. In the name of Jesus, only you can do it, Lord. Only you can bless, God, like you blessed every grass in the field, God, and every fallen owl that you bless, God. Yes, you, God, see your blessings and your anointing, Lord, today, Lord. Cover us with your blood as we go out and about today. Keep us, Lord, as we leave this place of anointing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We pray a blessing over your life. As we prayed earlier, we pray, God, continue to open doors, fresh doors, new doors, oh God, that no one can close, and close doors that no one can open. And we pray, God, to continue to touch the prophetess, oh God, that she'll come on back and give us some new insight on what the Lord has shown her. because we need new insights all the time to keep abreast of what the enemy is doing. Hallelujah. We just thank God for you all, and we bless God. Praise God. Brother Deacon Frazier, Apostle Stewart, we thank God for him. Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, thank God for Apostle Millie. God, for all the men and women of God that come on here, the Evangelist Campbell, the Evangelist Sheila, Minister Andira. Oh, God, we thank God for Prophetess Jackie. Lord, we just thank God for all the people that come on this blog talk radio from time to time, and we even for the apostles in Africa, in Ghana, and those in Zambia, those in Nairobi, Kenya, those in Chennai, India. We just thank God for all them, oh God. We just pray, Lord, to continue to watch over his church. And we know he is, oh God, but we praying that he keep everyone that has given their life completely to him, oh God, and just make a decision to walk and be steadfast in the word of God. We just pray, God, protection right now, because we know that we in times that they're coming against us. They're coming against the body of Christ. They don't want us to do what the Lord says. They want us to compromise, but we have made a decision in the name of Jesus Christ that we will not compromise. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord God. And Lord, as we leave this line but not your presence, oh God, we thank you for the prayer that went up to close the line. Lord, keep us that as we come back tomorrow, we'll have a word to give to your people, oh God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen. Have a blessed day, brothers, Minister Jones. Have a blessed day, Brother Deacon Frazier, Apostle Stewart. We thank God for you all. God bless. Bye-bye.